You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Just a couple of program notes. You may have noticed the slight change in format. And it's not a huge change, but it is a change that we need to do to accommodate some of our affiliates now. And speaking of affiliates, I want to give a big shout-out to my friends at Red State Radio, my good friend Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio, Scott Adams, owner of Red State Radio, because they are now picking up the Common Sense Show. So we're really pleased to be a part of their organization, and their affiliate radio stations will be picking us up as well, which means we get to increase our reach, which means there's nowhere soon the globalists are going to be able to hide. So much thanks and appreciation go out to Red State Radio and Scott Adams. It's going to be a week, isn't it? It's going to be a week that I don't think we'll ever get away from. We have a terrific show for you tonight. In the first hour, we're going to be joined in just a moment by Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report. For my money, I think it's one of the very top radio stations in the country, cutting-edge information, and really concise and well-presented. In the last 2 hours, I prevailed upon Ted Brewer, and oh, did I ever get more than I wanted. We had a cancellation at the last moment, and Ted and I were speaking on the phone, and he hit me with something that I have never heard of, and it's the latest depopulation move by the globalists. It's stunning, it's downright scary, and it really relates closely to a lot of what I wrote several years ago with regard to the collusion and conspiracy of the Gulf oil spill in that 7-part series I wrote called The Great Gulf Coast Holocaust. So we're going to be exploring that, and I think that's going to be setting off some alarms and fireworks. Well, before we get started, very quickly, I'm going to give a shout-out to some of our sponsors, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. And I say it every week, if you leave your money in the bank, there's going to come a day when you're going to get burned. Convert most, not all, but most of your cash to precious metals. And Steve will tell you, if he can't help you, he'll tell you. He'll be honest with you. There's no pressure at all. Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Also, we are sponsored by, well, we're sponsored by Bob Griswold. And you know Bob real well, readymaderesources.com, and he is the jack of all trades for prepping. I call him King Prepper. And you can get a hold of Bob tomorrow, 1-800-627-3809. In fact, we're having him on for a segment next week, and we're going to talk about survival in four different key and critical areas. But you don't have to wait till then, because if you are lacking in your preparation, don't go to sleep, because Trump has been elected, because I think the fun, in quotes, is ready to start. So give Bob a call tomorrow, 800-627-3809, after you check out his fine product selection at readymaderesources.com. And then finally, if the proverbial stuff does hit the fan, you know and I know that food is not going to be delivered. That just-in-time delivery that hits your grocery store 3 to 6 times per day, that's over. You better have some storable food on hand, and we can help you with that. Go to pneumonia.com/Hodges for the latest in storable food technology, great products, great product selection, great product delivery. Everything about it is first rate. I absolutely love to be associated with Pneumonia, so that's pneumonia.com/Hodges. Well, on the line with us is Joe Hagman, as I said, of the Hagman & Hagman Report, and they have been knocking them dead on their radio show. And Joe and I spoke briefly on the phone earlier today, And Joe, I want to welcome to the show, and I want to give you a good starting point. You had mentioned something about violence at a consulate on or near the border. So welcome to the show, Joe, and let's just jump right into it.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here. And, you know, this is the show leading up to the inauguration of Trump. Next week at this time, he will be sworn in and be the 45th president of the United States. And with this inauguration, there has been a lot of hype, both in the media and in the government. You know, different things are happening. And there have been threats to disruptions at the inauguration. And one of those threats we did talk about earlier, there was a shootout at a U.S. consulate in Nuevo Laredo. And if this is on Judicial Watch, this is on from Thursday. And it talks about a deadly shooting at a construction site of a new American consulate at a Mexican border town. They say there was Islamic terrorists and drug cartels planning to launch attacks against the U.S. During the period surrounding the presidential inauguration. Now, that's just one incident of threats, this one coming from apparently the Islamic State, but also including, you know, potential drug cartels. And I think this is one of the more extreme threats or possibilities of disruption for the inauguration. If I had to guess, I think we're just going to see more stuff like civil disobedience, people barricading the roads, as we saw during some of the Trump rallies before he won the nomination. And also people in the crowd, you know, with the protesters popping up here and there. But I think overall, it should go pretty smoothly.
I am hopeful that the only thing that we do see, Joe, is civil disobedience. But I'm wondering if that incident at the border that you just described is not just a prelude. And let me explain why. You have information that has come out of ISIS and how they say they're going to do this and that to disrupt the nomination. Well, Paul Preston, my friend over at Agenda 21 Radio on Red State Radio, he has been breaking this story now for the last several months, and he has the same information about total border disruption and almost a phase one of a Red Dawn invasion, that it's going to be massive. But his information doesn't come out of ISIS. It comes out of the CalExit movement. Now, I suppose indirectly, you know, terrorists are involved with CalExit because you've got a large Mexican drug cartel presence like La Familia and so forth. And so it's interesting how you and Paul are getting the exact same information from different sources. And, Joe, I hope you're right. I hope it doesn't go any deeper than civil unrest. But I am concerned, and I spoke to a Border Patrol agent that I've had contact with now. We're in the third year, and he and I first spoke at a Circle K in Yuma, Arizona, when I was on my way to vacation in California, and I approached him. And this was at the height of the Central American immigration invasion of the United States, and I thanked him for his service, and I told him how sorry I was that he was being exposed to all these deadly diseases, had to change clothes all the time, and we struck up a friendship. And we talked today, and he said, we're not getting the high alert status, but I know exactly what you're speaking about, Dave. And he said, we're packing a little extra armor and firepower, he said, for the upcoming days. He said that they have heard exactly the same things as we're speaking about. So although DHS may not be moving to protect its own with INS and the Border Patrol, Joe, they certainly are. The Border Patrol certainly is taking this seriously. So good job on catching that. What else is on your radar for the Hagman and Hagman report? What have you guys been reporting on?
Well, we have we've been having a number of guests on, even a few a night, from citizen journalists like Andrew Kerr of the citizensaudit.com to Tara from Reality Calls. And we had a guest on Friday, James Perloff. He's an author. And he is a historian, and he one of his books is The Shadow Powers from 1988, and we got into a lot of the history of what's been going on throughout the last, you know, 50 since Pearl Harbor and moving forward, the different policies in the U.S. and where we're going from past, present to future. with a whole number of issues and, you know, going through different false flags in the past. If anybody had a chance and hasn't heard the show from Friday, I'd suggest people go find it and listen to it, because this guy's really smart. And we had a great conversation on Friday. And also Andrew Kerr, the CitizensAudit.com, he did some great work on the story of the BuzzFeed intelligence, fake intelligence briefing that was disseminated and then put out on the media by BuzzFeed and then CNN. So there was some great stuff last week. And if we could just talk about Trump for another minute, because there's an interesting story that's developed in the last 24 hours about the press in the White House. I read an article earlier today where it said Trump wants less press in the White House. But that wasn't, the headline was kind of misleading, because what he's saying is he doesn't want as much corporate press. He wants more independent bloggers and journalists to be part of the press crew. And I think that's pretty interesting. We saw the exchange last week of Trump and the CNN reporter, Jack A., I can't think of his last name right now, where Trump called the reporter and told him that his organization, CNN, is fake news. And I thought that was pretty incredible to see the shoe being put on the other foot when it comes to CNN, because they have been historically an organization that has created false stories, done, you know, acting on air, pretending they're in war zones or under fire. And it's good to see the truth coming out and CNN being put on the spot.
Well, I think there's only two things that people really need to understand about CNN to really fully comprehend their lack of credibility. Anderson Cooper is in the CIA. That's been discussed and, to my satisfaction, been proven multiple times over. But even beyond that, Amber Lyons, who I thought was a terrific reporter for CNN, and it was about, what, 4 or 5 years ago, Joe, where she could no longer continue out of good conscience. She said, I'm a journalist. I'm not a propagandist. And she said that CNN was being paid money by the CIA to cover some stories while ignoring other stories. And that's really all we need to know about that organization. And the only thing I think people are using CNN for right now is a nightlight, because their ratings are in the toilet.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to see the shift in the number of people who view cable news, mainstream news, and how many are since this last election cycle, have gone to a different format for their news, or at least for the main part of their news, the important part of their news, and then, you know, like you said, leaving it on in the background or just something to have on. That's probably where most of their ratings come from at this point. They've lost all credibility from the coverage of Trump and the presidential campaign this last go-around. They really backed themselves into a corner, especially when you have a lot of hungry, independent journalists who are just trying to report the truth, and they're doing, you know, a much better and more effective job than organizations like CNN. And I think that really bled through during this last election cycle, and it's continuing to gain momentum as we move forward.
Well, there's no question. And as we put out the all-star lineup, you know, you've got Alex and you and your dad and Ted Brewer and Paul Preston and Paul Martin, the whole myriad of great talent on the other side of the microphone, the independent side of the microphone that's beholden to no corporate sponsor. That's where the real truth is coming out of. And, Joe, there's a new day dawning, but here's my fear. And I don't want to snatch victory, you know, from the jaws of defeat. But my fear is this, is that, and I'll just, in fact, let me take this back to what Ron Paul is insinuating very strongly when he spoke this past weekend about the shadow government. And he named it the shadow government. And he goes on to say, or imply, I should say, that Trump's life is in a great deal of danger. I think not only if Trump's life is taken by the globalists, that will mark the end of us, and I think we'll see a purge directed against the very people I just mentioned.
Well, there is a enormous political divide in this country between conservatives and liberals, really. We've seen the huge increase in what they call political correctness, which is just the less intolerance against other people's points of views to the point of silence, you know, and safe spaces. And that's growing. I mean, that movement, it's so wrong to think about how these people react to opposition or thoughts or ideas that don't align with their own, to the point where you couldn't even, somebody spray painted, you know, Trump 2016 on the sidewalk, and you have students running to guidance counselors and teachers looking to be protected from political speech, and the left has coddled this, the administration has coddled this, and turned it into something, a monster of its own. And I don't know, you know, with that kind of, with creating that kind of mental divide and allowing these really fascist tactics to continue, it's creating an atmosphere that can't go anywhere but continuing to increase the division between these two groups.
Yeah, well, I look at, you know, this great network that we broadcast on, Global Star Radio Network, and also the new one that we've partnered with now at Red State Radio. Two very high-quality networks. I think the golden age is ahead for networks like this and for shows like what the Hagman and Hagman Report brings to the radio, because Trump is going to embellish honesty. Trump is going to have some of us at his press conferences. Can you imagine, Joe, you're sitting in the White House press room and you're sitting next to Wolf Blitzer?
Well, you know, I it might sound crazy, but I think it's at this point, and Trump's really also continued to show and the media bias and show his ability to use social networking and alternative media outlets to get his message across, even bypassing you know, the press corps and the mainstream media at times by using Twitter so much, and having, you know, this Rolodex of not only mainstream media individuals but alternative media individuals. And, you know, Trump seems pretty open. He's meeting with a lot of people. They're trying to get his cabinet in order. We've seen a couple instances where jobs have been, you know, brought back. You see that in the news a lot. But what you said about the potential for assassination, you know, we go back to the division in this country. And then you have the shadow government groups that we talk about. And there's some potential for some kind of violence from, you know, somebody from either group. You know, a more coordinated effort would obviously be a shadow government effort of some kind. And we saw how Trump and the intelligence agencies have gotten off to a very bad relationship, beginning with the allegations of Russian hacking, which are unfounded, to and Trump disagreeing with the intelligence agency's finding, to this release of a fake 35-page intelligence briefing where they were so vague they just wrote, you know, source A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then they were very specific with other forms of, or other parts of the intelligence, fake intelligence briefing, with potentially damaging information from Trump, about Trump, if it was true, which it was unfounded. So there is a divide between the shadow agencies groups and Trump. So there is the potential for really anything to happen. You know, they could do an outright, you know, attempt, as Ron Paul believes, or they could do some more different soft kill operations where, you know, they could destroy the economy or pull the rug out under Trump in a number of different ways, a massive terrorist attack or a number of terrorist attacks throughout the country. There's a lot of ways they can hurt this presidency, and I think we're going to see some of a few of those things happen in the very beginnings of his presidency.
Well, I think some of it's already happened, Joe. I've written pretty extensively, and I know you and your father have covered this on the Hagman and Hagman Report, about the provocations that Obama is leaving behind to try to entice Putin into a first strike against NATO and the United States specifically. And what I'm talking about are all the dead Russian ambassadors. I mean, this is a CIA psyop right here. This is so CIA, and the bring down of the jet, the military jet of Russia. This is a CIA MO. I mean, there's no question in my mind, but
yeah.
You don't need to draw any assertions or assumptions, Joe, when you talk about the troops and the weaponry we're putting on the Russian border.
No, absolutely. They're still continuing to try to expand NATO and, you know, military bases and encroaching on Russian territory almost. We've seen, in the past, we've seen the systematic assassination of different personnel and diplomats from other countries. We've seen it, you know, with the Iran nuclear scientists. We saw it in Central and South America. in the past, and this is a common tactic for these people to create chaos inside of a government or organization to the point where, you know, people can't organize or get back on their feet in the proper way. And I haven't seen any, I mean, the Russian, I've seen a few of the diplomats that have been found dead over the past 6 months. But I haven't really taken a serious look at that, and it is something to look at because you have to ask, why is this happening? And if this is Obama baiting Putin into a first strike, I think Putin's smarter than that. You know, it was told to us by a guest recently on the show that the U.S. isn't going to outright strike somebody. They're going to continue to bait the nation into doing that first strike so it's justified when it retaliates. And if Putin can, you know, be patient and remain calm, I think which I think he will, because I think he is smarter than, and he can see what's going on. And just in the last few days, there's been Trump has opened, you know, saying that we should trust Putin, whether people believe that or not. This is just what he's saying, and it looks like Russia's interested and optimistic towards this new presidency and the relationship that the United States and Russia can have under this regime.
I think Putin is. But Putin is not the only voice of control in Russia. There's a shadow side of this. I'm sure you recall a couple of years back when Putin disappeared for, what was it, 12, 13 days. In fact, I was putting memes up on my website, you know, on milk cartons with, you know, where's Putin, call 1-800-Kremlin. Because of the fact that, you know, a world leader to disappear like this, and I've been told he got read the Riot Act in terms of being more aggressive against the United States, particularly in Syria, particularly with trying to forge relations with Turkey so they could put a gas line through Turkey that the CIA has continually tried to block. So there are forces inside of Russia that want to see war. And so let me tell you where this is going, and I want to get your comment on this. And there's a gentleman named Trevor Loudon that both of our shows should have on the air. When we look at the old Russian defectors, Bezmenov, Lunev, and so forth, Joe, they said they were going to conquer us from within. They said, we're going to take control of your media, we're going to infiltrate your politics, we're going to have second-generation people born here to Russian KGB agents. And by the way, that's a theme of a popular TV show called The Americans. And he said, we're going to do all this to you. And Joe, let me tell you, I've been watching this documentary by Trevor Loudon, and it parallels a lot of the research I've done on the Muslim Brotherhood in the DHS. Uma Abedin, you know, Hillary Clinton's top aide, who would have been a top White House advisor, had Clinton won, with clear Muslim Brotherhood ties. And I've been counting now what Trevor Loudon has and what I have found. And I'm up to about 100 congressmen and senators who belong to one or two groups, front groups for the Communist Party, that harkens me back to the Russian defectors warning, and also the Muslim Brotherhood. I am finding strong associations, and Trevor Loudon didn't just say it, and I didn't just write it, Joe. I have the documentation. I know you've read some of that in the past, but Trevor Loudon has interview clips where these people are saying, I want to thank, and they'll mention the front group for financially supporting me, Elizabeth Warren, Barbara Boxer, Joe Biden. It's incredible. Joe, I think we're being conquered from within, and I don't think the Russian dream of taking us down from within has ever ended. Putin may have his views of peace and good relations with Trump and the United States, but I think there are factions within Russia that are still actively trying to take us down.
Well, absolutely. We have you know, the old the KGB faction that still, you know, works and controls parts of Russia, as well as, you know, really a second generation from that, people who were brought up with that mentality. And you see the tactics of Islam and communism are very similar in nature, you know, the infiltrating geographical areas in a country or an area, a state. The, as you said, the infiltrating from within, attaining positions of power, and very subtly implementing their agenda. When you look back at the communist planks that they've wanted to implement, you know, for over 50 years now, they've done a lot of what's on those lists, whether it's through, you know, subversive communism or overtly through, you know, Islamic regimes in other nations. So it is very alarming, and it's a very real possibility.
It's something that I have watched this documentary from Trevor Loudon, and we really need to get him on. He's a journalist out of New Zealand. And this man doesn't leave a stone unturned. I mean, I'm sure you remember two articles I wrote about the Muslim Brotherhood and DHS and the connections that people yeah. like Patel, a senior-level DHS official, directly tied to groups associated with the Muslim Brotherhood, who's the granddaddy of all terrorist groups. But Loudon even takes it a step further. And I know I'm sounding like a paranoid Joseph McCarthy here, but the facts are the facts. When Keith Ellison says he's beholding to Sharia law, and he's going to be the head of the next head of the DNC, congressman out of Minnesota, should we not take him seriously, Joe?
Well, I do believe that. Yeah, you know, we have to keep our eye on him. But you know, is he going to have the power to really change anything as far as the Democratic organization and make it more extreme than it already is? I don't know. You know, you have our whole government is filled with people who are loyal to Islam. And some believe, and I believe in certain cases, that they're more loyal to Islam than they are to America. And that is of grave concern. When you have people, you know, John Brennan, an open Muslim in a, you know, running an agency of our government, a very important agency of our government. And there's many more. They're all throughout Homeland Security, immigration, the ATF, and they're becoming part of the FBI. And we just see this expansion in Congress and in the Senate. And, you know, even in the top forms of policy positions on the Democratic and Republican side, not the Republican side so much the Islamic aspect, but you do have the communism and fascism in there, aspects of it, and you have the, you know, the neo-Republican types, the warmongers, the warhawks. So there's threats from all over the place in both sides of the political spectrum. And this is why the, you know, I keep talking about the independent media, but this is why it's so important, because the mainstream media has not done its job in identifying any of these threats from either side and telling the American people what's going on. We have to dig and research and find out for ourselves, you know, how many of these people have other agendas and ideologies that they're trying to implement from behind the scenes in positions of power. So this is why it's so important that we continue to hammer the nail on the head with shows like yours and others in the alternative media.
There's a an employee, and that's how I'm going to refer to him, who works for Pemex, which is the Mexican nationally controlled, you know, gas and oil firm. And he first contacted me during the Central American invasion to give me his version of things from his side of the border. English impeccable, highly intelligent guy, very, very well informed. He sent me something, oh, I think it was, we're bordering on 2 weeks now, Joe, and he said, Dave, some of what you said about Red Dawn is beginning to fester here in Mexico. And I wrote back and said, define fester. And he said, they're planning actions along the border, they being the cartels and the terrorists that are they're associated with. They're planning actions on the border. Here's what he told me directly, and then I'll give you the piece of news that should have been in every newspaper in America, but wasn't. He said that he has two relatives in the cartel, and he said this is very common. Most families have cartel members that are in their family that are somehow related to them, and they do various jobs. And he went on to say that one of them told his uncle that they're going north to the border to kill Americans. Now, this was recent. But almost 2 weeks ago, Joe, what he told me was about the Mexican gas shortage. And he said, we know at Pemex, this is not a supply distribution problem. It's being caused by Obama creating the crisis. And he said to me that our government is pivoting towards China as a solution. What a foothold China could get if they could get Mexico as a primary ally because of energy. And this is what he told me he feared was coming. Well, there's violence at the gas stations now. And, Joe, where is this news at, on Fox or CNN or ABC?
Yeah, you know, another great example of what's not being talked about in the news that is very important to people, especially along the southern border. You know, you'd want to know if there's violence happening near or around you. And it's kind of alarming that, you know, this is something that's being brushed under the rug on the mainstream media. But one thing that I have to ask when I hear you explain that is the cartels and what their motivation is. Because, you know, the cartels are heavily involved in politics south of the border. And they have, you know, all police organizations, personnel inside just about every branch of government, and where they share information and get favors for money. The cartel is basically motivated by money and selling drugs and promoting fear. So when I wonder why or think why the cartel would bother to come north of the border when creating situations of violence or potential violence would increase the level of security between the U.S. and Mexican border, it doesn't sound like it's something that they would do because it would mess with their bottom line, unless there are other economic opportunities that would come from this, which we are really unaware of or don't know at this point, which would be a huge concern. Because we know that the drug cartel doesn't go around with promoting civil disobedience. You know, they drop heads in shallow mass graves and whatnot. So definitely something to keep our eye on.
Well, it's a couple things, and you raise an excellent point. When I was speaking back and forth with the my contact in Veracruz, I said, I can't print this without some verification of the gasoline issues and what's going on and the threats to blow gasoline stations up. And he referred me to two Mexican publications, which are now on thecommonsenseshow.com, and I wrote a story about that. So there is documentation on the other side of the border. Now, as far as the cartels and the terrorists, a 2010 police memo that I have printed also on the Common Sense Show talks about the intermarriage between Hamas, Hezbollah, and by default that also means Al-Qaeda, Muslim Brotherhood, and ISIS. But this memo mentioned those two terrorist groups and the Mexican drug cartels, and they were warning police officers on the street that you could be encountering these forces. That memo wasn't meant for public consumption, but it leaked out. And then Paul Preston comes forward with the fact that the people who are putting together CalExit, and he has said as much on this show, and you should really have Paul on. I mean, this guy is a wealth of information with regard to this. But Paul went on to say that his embedded sources of the CalExit movements, headed by the brown people, also includes members of the cartels, the Bank of China, the UN, and the Obama administration. Hey, Joe, this is one big plot. And the reason I brought up to you, and I knew we would land on this square, the reason I brought this up to you is I believe that these Democratic congressmen and senators that are members of these dangerous front groups are part of this. They know what's coming. And what's coming is a coup.
Well, you know, one of the things that, if you look back in history surrounding the John F. Kennedy assassination, is the different theories and trains of thought as to who was responsible or behind the actual assassination and potential subsequent attempts before that. You had the communist theory put in there, from Lee Harvey Oswald, because he was an alleged Russian, you know, spy, to the mafia ties that were involved in the speculation surrounding members of organized crime and John and Robert Kennedy from the Department of Justice, what Robert Kennedy was doing, fighting organized crime, to John F. Kennedy and people who backed him in the election. And then you have the, you know, the former Dulles brothers, head of the CIA, and George Bush Sr., that background and theory of, as to there could potentially have been a coup, as what you just referenced could be happening now with Trump. And this could be them planting seeds to prepare for speculation. Oh, it was the drug cartels. Oh, it was, you know, a crazy left-wing guy with a gun. You know, there's a number of ways that they could be laying groundwork for the potential to have reasons if something happens, saying, you know, well, they can put the blame where they want to, where they think it would be most effective. So that's why it's a little concerning to me. But at the same time, I don't know. There's a number of ways, as we talked about, that they could knock Trump off of his pedestal.
Yeah, this 50 ways to leave your lover, so to speak. What's your take on the dramatic Trump dismissal at 12:01 a.m. on Inauguration Day of the National Guard director. What do you think is going on there?
You know, I did read an article about that. I'm not too familiar with the situation, except for that one article I read. And that's something Obama did, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is, I think this speaks to what we've been seeing in the news about the transition of power. There's TV shows on TV talking, you know, going through histories of transition of power, to stuff in the news about how Obama is really, you know, doing a lot of things before he leaves office. One is he's issued a number of executive orders just in the last 48, 72 hours. I think it's up to five or six now. I haven't gone through all of them, and I'm not sure if there's anything groundbreaking in there or not. From what I saw, nothing really jumps out, but from him issuing the executive orders, I saw also on Drudge today that while Obama was president, he took and federalized three times more land than the size of Texas here in the U.S., and that's a staggering amount of land to, you know, stamp as government land and then seal it up as a, you know, away from the public. And I think all this speaks to what Obama didn't get done in his presidency that he wants to try to get done, or he's being urged to push through right now, to a disruption of what Trump's going to do. I think that Obama feels there could be a lot of policy reversals from what he's implemented. So he's trying to put as much out there, or is being directed to put as much out there as possible right now.
This is why I don't trust what's going to happen over the next 5 days. I've talked to so many people, Joe, that say I have a bad feeling about what's coming. There, you know, I look at Obama. He was going to move to Hawaii. He'd sold his house in Chicago. And now he's staying in Washington, D.C. Why?
Yeah, he has a, I think he's renting a mansion. There was a story about a week ago talking about the wall that he's putting up, you know, this huge wall that he's putting up at this newly rented mansion. And I don't put much stock into him staying in D.C. There is no situation where I believe he remains in power, regardless of what happens on Inauguration Day, regardless of anything else. Because, you know, on Inauguration Day, all the government is not there. Even if the whole city was wiped off the map in that moment of time, there are people who, politicians and, you know, continuity of government officials that are taken out of that city prior to the transition of power and put in secret and secure locations. So there is a plan in place just about for any situation. And like I said earlier, I believe that we're going to see some minor disruptions throughout this inauguration. I think you might have some tense moments, but overall, I think it should go rather smoothly. And if there is any attempts or tries at things, I think it won't be during the inauguration. I think they'll wait a little bit and carry it out in a less conspicuous moment.
Interesting. And I have mentioned this before on my show, but I think it bears repeating. And sometimes I hope that if we shine the light on something that's speculative, it might prevent it from happening in the real world. But there's a popular ABC show right now that's on hiatus for the season until, I believe, the spring, starring Kiefer Sutherland, you know, the 24 fame. And in the show, a joint session of Congress, the president, the vice president, and all the cabinet members, except for one, the head of HUD, who's played by Kiefer Sutherland, there, the Capitol's blown up, and Kiefer Sutherland becomes the president by default. And there were two Congress people that survived. And it's interesting that it's out there in this season. And I try not to make too much of predictive programming, Joe, but it's something that I just can't get this show out of my head.
Well, unfortunately, you know, there's a number of shows on TV. You know, that Lucifer show, I found out, was still on TV. And there's a number of shows. And we can't dismiss the predictive programming angle because we've seen it used in the past on a number of occasions. And just to give people some examples, 9/11, if anybody does it, just goes on YouTube and just types in predictive programming 9/11, you'll be bombarded with videos showing all the different TV shows, music videos, posters, just all the stuff that came out of the entertainment industry that kind of subliminally hinted to 9/11, or it was a frequent number used, almost too much of a coincidence for me. And we've seen other incidents, like the Boston Marathon bombing. I think there was an episode of predictive programming on The Family Guy. There's a cartoon called The Family Guy where it talked about explosions happening in the Boston bombing. I think this was a year before it actually happened, or whatever happened there. And there's other examples of this. And they do explain or kind of hint to what they're going to do. They'll put a lot of stuff out there, and some of it will stick. And it's surprising. And folks, if you just do some quick research on advertising, subliminal messages, and predictive programming, I think you'll be amazed at what we subject ourselves to on a daily basis. And then even more amazed at the stuff that seems to come of it.
That's a very succinct and very well put analysis of the issue. But, you know, I pray to God that this does not go down the way this TV show on ABC has popularized. I have a feeling in the pit of my gut, and I'm not sitting here making a prediction there's going to be a calamity on Inauguration Day, but I just can't shake the feeling that Trump is out of the woods. I mean, let's look at what he survived. I mean, you look at the Republican primary, the world was against him, including his own party leadership. And it only took the will of the people to overcome that. And then the general election, every dirty trick in the book, and Trump still gets elected. I mean, every dirty trick, from voter fraud to a complicit media. And now
yeah,
he survived.
I mean, Hillary
the
even
recount. Yeah, it's
Hillary
he survived
even made up
so much.
Yeah, she made up the things she was guilty of. She would turn around and create scandals against Trump, and the media would all jump on board and run with it, regardless of how true it was or not. It seemed like the more opposition he ran into, the more he excelled at being a politician and expanding his base and his support. Because there was, I mean, if you just looked at the nomination field for the primaries, was there 16 Republicans, and Trump was not, you know, the only person out there who wasn't a politician or a career politician, and you had people like Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, other establishment Republicans that seemed that they would have a much better chance. But I think Trump is a showman, and he's very intelligent, and he knows how to talk to people, whether he's genuine or not with it, which I believe he is to a great degree. He knows how to, be short, simple, and yet still state an articulate point that resonates with many people. And I think people are so used to and sick of, you know, the political people going through political motions and trying to be, you know, very articulate and influential with the words they use and have all these speechwriters. But I think the American people are sick of that. Those formalities, especially when the results are always opposite of what the politicians are saying. So it was time for a change, and we have the opportunity. We've been blessed with the reprieve, so to speak. A lot of people feel that because Trump's in, they can take a step back and take a deep breath. I'm not that optimistic because, you know, history shows it doesn't matter who becomes president. The globalist agenda pushes through. So it's a very interesting time we live in, though, and we definitely have or seem to have an opportunity that we haven't had in a while to kind of walk some of this stuff back.
Joe, I think that you're really pointing to a very critical point here. And there are a good deal of Americans, maybe as many as half of the people who supported Trump, so maybe as many as 30 million people that have gone back to sleep. They've relaxed. They're back into their apathetic mode, thinking Trump is going to save them. And that's a very dangerous place to be, because Trump can't do this by himself. If you think Trump had opposition in the primary and the general election, you ain't seen nothing when it comes to Congress. And Joe, he's after free trade agreements, illegal immigration. Those are the financial cornerstones of the globalists inside the United States. Destroy American jobs, send the jobs overseas, make more money by shipping the products in from cheap labor, and bring cheap labor here in the form of immigration. Congress isn't going to give up those campaign donations from these people willingly.
That's right.
It's going to be a quagmire.
you said something that's very important about a number of people feeling that, you know, oh, good, we can stop paying attention, Trump's going to do this. We saw this, and this is a very dangerous mindset to have, because we saw this in 2008 when Obama got election. People thought, oh, you know, I'm going to get all this money, and people, they're gonna, my car is going to be paid off, my house is going to be paid off, and they didn't hold him accountable for the lack of the correction of the job market, despite what the numbers say. Because I still see headlines even today, you know, jobs are at 42, unemployment's at 42-month low, or, you know, 5-year low. Yet we still have a fourth of Americans that are out of work who could be working. But he wasn't held accountable because people felt they could trust him. And we always have to hold our politicians accountable, whether he's the guy you voted for or not. And I think falling asleep, falling back into, you know, a comfort mode is dangerous to do right now, because we are in different times than any other.
I really do. You know, and something I wonder too, Joe, is that Trump going after the free trade agreements is huge for the economic viability of this country, because it'll keep jobs here domestically. It'll put manufacturing back in the country, which is what you need if you're involved in a prolonged war, where you can have peacetime to wartime conversion of those industries. But what really concerned me about Trump is I wondered, should he have held off on the immigration issue, making it as big as he did, or did that get him elected? Because, see, he's drawn the ire of so much of the country that they say he's an illegitimate president, and a lot of it stems from the feeling that some people think they're going to be deported.
Well, I think the immigration issue helped. I think that he would have still got elected, even if he didn't even, you know, issue a statement on it. If he said, you know, when I become president, or just kind of hinted to what he wanted to do. But he went out and talked about building a wall. He talked about a really important issue, which is vetting refugees from the Middle East instead of just blanketly allowing, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of war-torn refugees to enter the country, when we know, you know, the majority, 95-98% are all Muslims. And we've seen the wreckage that the migration issue across Europe has created, with all these increased terrorist attacks, Sweden becoming the rape capital of the world. It's becoming ridiculous to see these governments in Europe bend over backwards and give rights to refugees and immigrants they don't give to their own citizens. And I think you're seeing a pushback from that, and with Brexit and this rise of populism that we've been talking about on our show, I think it was a pushback. The vote and the talk about immigration did help, I think. And the trade deals, that's a big one. We see that Trump's creating new agreements with other companies. Lockheed Martin is one of them, saying they're going to keep you know, over 1,000 jobs here in the U.S. We've seen Trump threaten other companies about creating a tax to tax manufacturers who are in Mexico or overseas, who bring their products back into the U.S., which is something the free trade agreement has, you know, pretty much banished. It's free trade amongst all nations. But I think if you create an environment where competition and capitalism can be healthy again, you're going to do wonders for the U.S. economy and for the job market here.
I think those are excellent points, and I could not agree with you more. Let me bootstrap into a little deeper issue connected to that. If something were, and I pray it doesn't, happen to Donald Trump, do you think the psychology of the American people has evolved enough that the populist movement that Trump really brought to the forefront during the campaign will not die? In other words, it'll intensify and Trump will become a martyr?
Oh, absolutely. It would intensify. You know, this goes back to the left-right, conservative-liberal divide that we have in this country. And the amount of people that came out all across the country to vote Trump, and he picked a strong vice presidential candidate in Mike Pence. And I do believe that this movement will carry on as long as we have politics in America. I think for the foreseeable future, we're going to see what the media will call more extremist or outside types of politicians. I think people are sick of the status quo. And they're tired of this tough talk and you know, backstabbing that the atmosphere Washington has created for businesses in all sectors, both public and private. So
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see. I do believe that if anything happened to Trump, that, yes, this would continue to move forward. You're talking about, you know, a force that has really come alive during this last election cycle. And I believe if something of any kind of violence were to happen, it would outrage a lot of people. And I think we'd see that very soon after if something happened.
Well, if that happens, see, right, you just answered my next question and very well said. Because if something does happen to Trump, because of the psychological pushback from the people as well as the physical pushback, the other side's going to come after people like you and I and a whole lot of others that they don't trust because they know it's coming. They know what the reaction will be. So we'll see unprecedented crackdowns in my estimation. So final question, Joe. If it does come to something like that, if the globalists do move on the people and they take out key politicians, do you think that the military will join the people, or will the majority of the military stay with the government?
Well, I know the military is made up of a number of good men and women. At the same time, how often through history have we seen them, you know, not follow their orders if they're given orders? So you have an atmosphere of uncertainty. We've seen historical examples of the governments and the military seem to always roll over the population. But this is America. There is the possibility that doesn't happen here, and I'd like to think that would be the case, that you'd have so many defectors that nobody would be left to follow the orders. At the same time, there's a lot of crazy people out there who'd probably, you know, step into place to carry out orders like that. But I don't think we're at that point yet, and I hope that's the case.
I know, Joe. I don't want to buy trouble. Thank you for holding me close to the rein here. I appreciate that. Because you have been right on the money with your predictions. I mean, about the recount and about Congress approving the Electoral College results and the unseating of the Electoral College through illegitimate means. You've been right all along on this. So, you know, my hat's off to you. You guys just do a great job at the Hagman & Hagman Report. Doug and Joe Hagman, and it airs right here on the Global Star Radio Network Monday through Friday from... I got to think of my time zones here, Joe. 7 p.m.
to 10
p.m.
Eastern. Yeah.
7 to 10 Eastern. And it's terrific. And, Joe, I just got time to mention one thing about your father's book, Stained by Blood, which I have an ad for on my website. Very quickly, tell people how they can get a copy, and you got about 15 seconds.
Folks, you can go to HagmanReport.com. You can go to StainedByBlood.com, or just go to Amazon and search Stained by Blood. It's a great book, and anybody who can get it, I urge to get it.
Very good. Well, Joe, we live in historic times, and the Hagman and Hagman Report is doing an excellent job keeping people up to date on the latest, and this is going to be a very, very interesting week. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Dave. God bless. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report, that was one quick hour. Anyway, we're going to be back after the break with Ted Brewer. In this critical time, I brought in my trusted resources. That's why you're hearing the old reliables. Next week, we got some new people. We'll talk about that later, and we will see everybody on the other side. Take care, everybody, and thanks for joining us tonight, and thanks again to Red State Radio for picking us up.